Good evening. It is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're working our way through Secret Talks Volume 5, and we've made it to page 109 and chapter 45. And what we start the program with actually is a recount of the previous week, and when Pat reads the notes that our scribe has taken, it looks quite extensive tonight, huh? Yeah, about what are the elements of groups, and why don't you go ahead and do that now.
Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017, Work of Groups, number 23. 1. Element of a group. A scribe, a fair witness. 2. Notes. 1. Chapter 44 refers to the idea of the skyhook, which is associated with one's formulation of what one can do with being and with making an aim greater than oneself. The question was asked of the group, what is your skyhook? One response was looking at skyhook in relation to doing practices that can open a space and that one can invite others to come to that space, which can be like making a name that's bigger than yourself. You're making the practice not only about you and serving your needs and desires, but you're putting that into service to also benefit others. Taking out this line of thought about such a skyhook, a group may appear with a focus, an aim greater than any individual's personal aim, and many may derive benefit. 2. The group shared their understanding of skyhook or their skyhook efforts. The observation was made that people's remarks were so different, each sharing something unique, fresh, and alive, like hearing from the mouths of babes. This seemed to contribute a finer quality to the space. I would concur with that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And the other thing that I wanted in listening to Pat read, there's always so much meaning, and I just love listening to somebody of this caliber read, because then you get, there's more meaning on the sound wave that comes through. And one of the things I got was that the effort of doing a group exercise in itself is something.
Yes.
You know, just say, okay, we're going to do this exercise. And so you've inspired me, Pat, to find a particular exercise for this week,
good.
I already have one in mind, but it won't be easy. But I wanted to start off with a preamble to the course,
mm-hmm.
which we'll get in about a chapter or two. These chapters are little bits and bites and little tapas, like little appetizers.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right now, as we're sitting here, about 30 miles from here is a fire, and the fire is grown immensely over the last hour, 2-3 hours, and they've ordered an evacuation of a small city up on the ridge. We call it the ridge, and that's going to have an enormous effect on those individuals, just like the storm that hit Houston, Texas,
yeah.
Just wiped out their belongings, like if someone had a mobile home or something, it is gone. Everything is gone. If this fire persists, some of the homes will be just wiped out. They may or may not have insurance, but there's so many elements that hold their life together in a certain way that will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they'll be wise enough to save themselves.
Yes.
But the point of it is...
People first.
People first. But the point of it is that these horrific disasters are creating fundamental... Suddenly you're in a different place in your life. And aren't we all really living in that manner? You know, where in 1 second, driving home, I can just... go off the, you know, veer because there's a deer there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm off the road,
mm-hmm.
and there's a significant crash, and I lose my big toe or other things. The point is that it seems like we get set.
Yes, we get maybe even complacent.
But we're not set. So.
But then we get woke up.
So the world is constantly shaking the bed and saying, hey, buddy, wake up a little bit.
Wake it up.
And we're going to just skim through a few of these chapters here. We're going to start with chapter 45. And if you'll notice, chapter 45, it says, what are we doing here? And it starts with Madame talked to us about awareness of spaces as we sat and talked. Every once in a while, somebody would leave and somebody else come into the space, inevitably to replace the one who left. She said, when we cannot relate to one another or to the group, it is because we are not doing our work. With a group, we can transcend petty disagreements when others are part of us. We love them by enduring their manifestations. And I have direct examples of that. And you actually love them first, and then their manifestations are understandable. And you just go, okay, that's just what that one does.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about a few things. And then on the last, on the next page in 110, if we skip down a few paragraphs, you see, G emphasized to us the importance of being able to tell people what we were doing in a way that would make it possible only for those to hear who have established in themselves a definite magnetic center. He said we should know what to say to all different formations of types. What does he mean by that?
Well, that is just so incredible. This is really, it's really up the line, up the wall, no. It is current. This is current. The paragraph before said, we faced in twos, asking each other in turn, what is the work? In practicing for encounters with outside people and their questions. And then he gives this response. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't know yourself or the others in your group for the type that you are, you can't possibly interact with people who are not in the group because you don't know how to be with them. You don't know how to respond to them. It's very interesting, this response.
Fascinating.
I love his response.
Yeah.
I love it. Is it time?
Yeah.
Oh, please, holy endless void, surprise me again.
So, I mean, that's something you can do. And I know some of you, as part of your practice, you go out into the world to do things. So practice this idea. If you're going to talk to somebody who's not come to 200 workshops here and, you know, listened, read all the books, how would you approach them in such a way that it doesn't freak them out, doesn't overwhelm them, yet at the same time is caring to them? That's a form of external considering. And it's fun. It's fun to be in that space.
It's a very, very fantastic exercise, even if you never have the situation where you actually are encountered by somebody.
Yeah.
And what is it that you mean when you say this word work? What are you talking about? I have a job.
You know, it's interesting because we've been doing this show now for many, many, many months, a few years, and people I work with in the community, the broader community,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll schedule something on Wednesday night, like there's an event tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, gosh, I can't go. I've got a, something else that I've been, a fixed assignment on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And hardly anybody ever asks me, well, what do you do on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So it's rare for someone to ask, and it's much rarer further that if should someone ask, tell me about that.
Right.
So here's this strange person. Everything that comes, oh, that's on Wednesday, I can't go. So you have to be kind. There's no need to lie, but anyway, chapter 46, Tomb Guardians. This is interesting, and I did study Tomb Guardians a bit, and there's the picture on the email, by the way, was just fascinating, and there's a number of them that are just
mm-hmm.
from many, many different cultures. That so this is a thing, and in ancient Egyptian practices, the body was mummified so that the soul would have a body to travel in for the afterlife.
That's right.
And to prevent recurrence in the same form. I'd never thought of it that way. This is also the purpose of tomb guardians in early Japan, which were placed around the grave in a circle. The grave, a little knoll, but they were facing the grave rather than facing away.
Mm-hmm.
This shows that they were not there to protect from grave robbers or anyone who might disturb the grave, but to prevent the spirit of the dead from leaving the tomb. And then E.J. goes on, he says, false man is in a prison without walls. He keeps himself imprisoned. Although he could leave at any time, this gateless gate, what a phrase, is his own involuntary making. His tomb guardians peer at him from mirrors facing inward. How do you like them apples?
I do not like that image at all, not one bit.
Well,
very close to home.
Just because of that, we're going to go into it a little further then.
Oh, and would that be chapter 47?
No.
Oh, more here.
No, we're going to stay on chapter 46
oh,
for a couple
okay.
minutes.
Okay, I thought I could just flip out.
Yeah, well, too bad.
All right.
So when I first got here, EJ was a connoisseur of all sorts. Had introduced the album Metropolis to us, the music being done by Giorgio Moroder. And it was very, Moroder had done the music, but he allowed different artists to come with their own lyrics that were in line with what he was trying to do with his movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very old Fritz Lang movie from the 20s, I believe. And it's a very dynamic movie. If you get a chance to see it, you should. It's worth it. Anyway, so Moroder, he had Freddie Mercury, Pat Benatar, Adam Ant, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. He was very big at the time in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then this song was written by a guy named John Anderson. And it was called Cage of Freedom. You remember this? Cage of Freedom, that's our prison, where the jailer and captive combined.
Mm.
Cage of Freedom, cast in power, all the trappings of our own design.
Mm.
Blind ambition steals our reason. We're soon behind those invisible bars. On the inside, looking outside. To make it safer, we double the guard. Cage of freedom, there's no escaping. We fabricated a world of our own. Cage of freedom growing smaller till the wall now touches the skin. That one always bothers me. Cage of freedom filled with treason. Changing sides as the losses begin, our suspicion tries escaping, but they step up the security. There's no escape. There's no entrance. Remember how we swallowed the key? Cage and freedom, that's our prison. We fabricated this world on our own. And so on. Wow. I mean, talk about right out of this chapter, right?
Yes, reverberation.
Right? And you know, that's exactly what EJ is saying in this chapter, that we build our own prisons. Is it possible, are we good enough to observe that about ourselves? Can we observe what are any element of the cage of freedom that EJ's referring to here and this lyricist talks about in his song? Can we, you know, it's things like, do we have anybody online there, Dan? 10 people. Can you say what any element of your imprisonment is like? Almost by nature, you can't, right?
That is correct.
By nature, you can't because it's invisible.
Yes.
I built these walls to protect myself.
But there's a clue.
Tell me the clue.
The clue says, he said, remember, the prayer of the Absolute is, oh, please, holy, endless, void, surprise me again. He said the void could be pondered as God's God. That's something that will take you as much as you're willing outside of yourself.
The one that got me was where he says, please surprise me. Can we be surprised about ourselves? Can we see ourselves suddenly in a different mode and observe it? I saw something like that on Monday night. I was at the KVMR board meeting and I had to give a presentation. And I noticed that thing, you know, when you start talking to somebody and then the room goes quiet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're really listening. And they're like captured by that attention that's being emanated by the speaker. And I was doing that and I was observing and I thought, well, that's interesting, isn't it? And then I noticed how I was in the space. And how there was something slightly different in me. A wall had fallen. A small wall had fallen that allowed me to have a certain kind of presence in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again. What was the wall that fell? The sense of that I didn't have the authority to speak with such authority. That I was worried. I'm always, should I be talking like this? Should I be saying that? And suddenly, and that for that moment was gone. And I was able to just be there because I'm so intimidated by the authority of others, whatever that means.
So the question is, could you be surprised about yourself, by yourself,
yes,
and see it?
Yes.
Yes. And the answer in that case was, yes, you could. And you did.
I could and I did. And part of the reason was is because we practice self-observation so much. I'm used to observing my, let's say, the electrical mood of my machine. And suddenly there was something different. I was talking at the time, but my more interest was the self-observation, watching myself do that. So they were all listening, and I was going, wow, that's different. So I was surprised. I'm not indicating how it happened.
No.
I don't know how it happened.
No, you're not indicating in what manner it took place. You're just asking the question. Can you be surprised? That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Can you be
one.
Surprised about yourself, by yourself?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think that the path, there are so many elements with that, but I think one of the kernel, the foundation, the platform is self-observation and self-reflection, self-remembering, remembering ourselves, finding ourselves. What I'm observing about myself today wasn't there 20 years ago. Wasn't there. Or wasn't exercising or something. Interesting, huh? So use this as a method of self-observation. What are the walls of your particular prison? They are there. And as the lyricists say, oh, remember how we swallowed the key. So if you stop being surprised, Pat,
yeah.
Then that's proof that you swallowed.
That's correct.
So, that's just a little side note. Tomb Guardians. You want to take over a little bit?
Chapter 47 of Visitor. Or Zed, as we say in Canada, an old acquaintance of G's came to see us and we discussed the purpose of the school. Most of us were slow to talk. S talked a lot about her inner thoughts, feelings, and so forth, and was told she was looking for a father. Someone to guide her. She proved it when she was asked who made a certain statement, and she attributed to G a statement which was really made by Z. She kept repeating things G or Z had said a few moments before, as if she had just thought of them. G talked very sternly to her and told her she would always be in trouble with him as long as she did this. Every answer anyone gave to the question, why are you here, was attacked, picked apart, analyzed, and debunked. Each
Boom.
Cherished belief was discredited as soon as it was revealed. Finally, we were reduced to a grim silence. G said, our most basic knowledge should be why we were here. But none of us knew. What did we want that we thought was available here? Who is Z? She asked. M answered, a visitor. G said, perhaps you are the visitor. Each of us was asked, what was outside? It was nighttime and we sat in the living room. W answered, buildings. J, black nothingness. M, a dark city. F, houses, fences, roads. G asked F how much each of the things F had named would weigh. has made a hilarious attempt to estimate how much all of these things weighed. G pointed out how much imaginary environment we require mentally just to be here passively. After G left, Z talked with us for a long time and told us that G had been trying to help us become less dependent on him. We must realize he will not be with us forever. He asked sadly, who is the teacher here? I happen to recall this.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you know who Z was?
Yes.
To her?
Yes.
Right now, I mean, we can all imagine, because we've all been through it, but we could imagine that if EJ came out right now and he asked, well, why are you here? You know, we could easily be thrown into that same sense of confusion. We are here. We all here coming on Wednesday nights. There's a clarity of that. Why people, some people at 10 o'clock at night start looking at this,
mm-hmm.
or later for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, it's 1 hour. It's on their computer screen. You know what are they doing? They're doing something for themselves. There's nothing. It doesn't really have to do with this show. It has to do with their effort at something. And but if you are asked, why are you here? We would struggle with the answer to that.
Always.
Partly because it keeps evolving.
Exactly.
I mean, one of the very first birthday questions I had was I asked, what is the work? And I remember getting poked in the eye by Linda for asking the question, but it turned out to be a very dramatic talk.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just... Part of it is because we are evolving, we are changing, we don't know why, but just keep reflecting on, well, why are you here? Why are you here tonight on this? Why are you reading this stuff? This is written 40 years ago, right?
At least.
What possible use is it? And I like the part where Z, having compassion, for the group, when G left the room, mm-hmm. he sat there and spoke with them for a long time. Because mm-hmm. he knew these were serious students, serious actors on the stage, that they're there for serious reasons. And then the last part where he says that G is helping them less dependent on him.
Mm-hmm.
Asking a question like that of you, he's asking it, and he pounds away on you, but then you have the effect of that event, right?
Well, yeah, it's the I feel in the impact of it because I was sitting in the room, so I actually don't associate as much with these words as I do with my recall of the space.
There you go.
But the impact of it was very strong, really, really strong. I mean, it just struck everybody, you know, who is the teacher here? That, you know, we were supposed to actually look at that question. And it was asked in this sad is a minor word for it. It was almost with despair, as if
wow.
we hadn't got it, you know? Like we hadn't got it.
And Z.
And that was just, it was so, it was such a prominent feeling or mood in,
wow.
in the room that we, you know, we recognized this. It was a very strong impact. Interesting cycles, these secret talks with Mr. G. The elements that are expressed in each of these chapters, the chamber relevance, and then the group work with it, and then the principle that's being discussed or established or alluded to, whatever you want to say, it's like the impact of them is very tangible, but you have to let yourself go inside the story.
Good.
You know, you have to be
Good.
There. You have to be part of that. You have to be S or M or J or W or F. You know, you have to be one of those initialed students sitting there. You know, just take it on that you're sitting there and get that addressed to you. Because they're called secret talks with Mr. G, and there's a reason for that. You know, it's not all put out on the paper. You have to work at it. Gee, I'm really lecturing tonight.
So in that moment, no, but that's because it left a mark, and the mark that allows us to become part of it. None of the rest of us were in that space, so we're looking. What was it like to be there? And you're telling us that. When Z posed the question, who is the teacher, how did you work with that? Do you remember?
I do. I believe that as a group, we made some commitment to each other.
Mm.
This is my recollection of it. And one of the results of that commitment was that we would meet at least once a week as a community. And we maintained that for a considerable period of time. And that was...
Was that on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Like a dinner and a meeting or something?
So the other thing about it was that this Z is, you know, respected coworker in the work. I mean, that's kind of goes without saying, and he's an honored individual, and so when he speaks, you are paying attention, because, you know, this is a guest of EJ's for one thing, but it's also like it's been, you know how the laws of hospitality work?
Yeah.
And when you sit at the table and you're a guest at the table and the host says, you're not getting it. And then the guest of the host says, this is what he's trying to do for you. Can you get it? You see how it's got so much potency to it.
Yeah.
You know, like you couldn't, you probably were there. I'll remind you later. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I remember this talk, but what this ending here reminds me that I have been at talks a number of times when EJ talked about a related concept, which is the living teacher. What is a living teacher? And what he would tell us is sitting around the table in a circle that he didn't have to be there bodily for the living teacher to be present. And that it basically is an invocational circle, and that if we were doing our work, if we were present, or if we were competent in invocation, if we were functioning as a group, so here we go, our scribe can write this down. If we were functioning as a group, we would invoke the presence of the living teacher. And that didn't seem to be the answer here for this talk, but he's gone on at some length about that more than once.
Can we whiff the feeling, the smell, the scent that Pat is giving us? Like I can. I mean, I can almost look into the room.
Yeah.
You know, knowing I wasn't there, but I can I can sense the magnitude of what you're talking about, and that particularly that sense of despair. Because in that kind of a mood, that's where some work can be done.
Well, yeah, it was like we were given an opening. Well, first of all, the pointing out of an individual's flaws in front of each other is always one of those aspects of group work that get defined very precisely in this text.
Yep.
What is the manner in which it is done? It is not malicious. It is not critique. It is not for any other purpose except to say, hey, look, wake up, wake up. Here, take a look at this. But this description of what was happening with S and the reason why the example was given of that is finally we were reduced to a grim silence. G said our most basic knowledge should be why we were here, but none of us knew. And so he put that on the table as our current situation, our predicament, and we hadn't addressed it.
Right.
And we were not any further with actually being able to say, I am here because at this moment, blah, 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 whatever it would be. And so then he turns it around and he says, who is thee? As if it is a different question. But you see, it's still the same question, which is, who are you? Where do you think you are? And what do you think you're doing? So he puts it into that, well, who is Z? And the response comes back, well, you know, it's a visitor. And G says, perhaps you were the visitor.
Right.
You know, maybe you're not really here. Maybe you're just visiting. Maybe you're not here. And then the reason why G left, after G left with Z talking to us for a long time, it's like we're given another opportunity. There's another go-round. You know, we're not being left without a way to work at it. Z is there and offers this question. Who is the teacher here? So it's like we got a triple whammy on this.
Very much so. So we're
a trayful.
We have to allow ourselves to be in the space. The individuals that were there surrendered to the space. They surrendered their personalities in light of the space. They gave the space room to operate.
Yeah.
And because they did that, they were paid back.
Yes. We were honored.
You got permanency.
We were honored.
That was honored, yeah. And in the same way, these should be fresh questions that we're always asking ourselves. Who is the teacher? Why are you here right now? What are you doing in this space right now? And I don't mean like right now, tonight, but in a certain way I do, but tomorrow during at, you know, 3:30 a.m. when you're in the middle of whatever you're doing, why are you here right then? In a sense, that's a living reflection that you can make on yourself.
Well, the part of this that really ties it to me just in the sequence of these chapters that
sure.
I'm reading is it's not a given. It's the opposite of a given. It's not an assumption. It's an unassumed proposition that someone else should be responsible for critiquing you
wow.
or pointing the attention on you or putting the focus
nice.
On you. And the thing says right there, G had been trying to help us become less dependent on him. So we come to the teacher and expect the teacher to put his attention on us and focus on us so that we can get something out of it. And the truth of the matter is, all of that has to be done by the student because the teacher has work to do, and you're there to help get the work done, not to have the teacher stop what he's doing and put his focus of attention on you.
So,
And that's all these little chapters.
And we have, that's why they all seem kind of like loosely tied.
Yes.
We have the advantage of a solo worker in that we are, we have a group.
Oh.
Now, I know that there are people online. Who's online now, Dan? Just go ahead and say who the people are. No, we are a group rather than a solo worker.
So we have Silverdale, Risa, Auntie Matter, Bernie, Lara, and Muscle Spark, and a few others who haven't signed in yet.
Put the name out there yet. So every one of those individuals.
That's a strong group.
That's a strong group with many, many, many years of intention behind them. Some are a little older than others, and some are younger, but the intentionality is there. Every individual has a chance to work with another person. I'm going to just say Laura. Okay, Laura.
Laura.
Laura, 34. And Grant.
And
okay.
Grant.
Jesus. Yeah. So you got some giants out there. So take Laura, 34. She lives on the other end of the country in Florida, and she doesn't live right next to any of the group members.
Right.
That are listed there. But she has the ability, the skill, and the ableness to connect with somebody else at any time.
Mm-hmm.
I, for instance, live right here, and I'm going to see if I can meet with Pat sometime in the next 4 or 5 days, and I want to ask her what she thinks my walls of my prison are. So I can actually experiment with that.
Reading my mind?
Actually, yes.
That's what I thought, because I was thinking about that about 2 weeks ago.
About my prison?
No, about if I ever had the opportunity to say, what would I say?
So, and that will be a live event between the two of us at somewhere, restaurant, coffee, dinner, lunch.
Live event.
Live event. And everybody here does, too.
Yeah.
Grant is so active, and, you know, Muscle Spark is just in the middle of it all. Bernie, everybody, connect with each other. And then when you do that, as it says in the Bible, and as implied right here, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there also. I believe that. I believe that when I get together with Pat, that there will be a third force there with us, because of the quality of our, in both of our intentionality. I just announced it. I don't know if
I heard that.
If it's something you'd like to do.
I heard the announcement.
I'm just throwing it out.
I heard the announcement. I have a question for you, though, David.
Yes.
In relation to the way that we have been working with the group, and we've had those couple of experiments where we've actually said, okay, this week at a certain time or whatever, and we've sort of like, we've set an intention about this into the future, like you've just done now. I just was thinking, maybe it would be appropriate to say for each of us, okay, this next, 4 or 5 days, within the next week, I'm going to look at the walls and see, I have to stop right there because I don't relate to this.
Which part?
Well, the
walls
and the prison and that kind of thing, yeah. I don't have that.
Okay.
But I do have another one of them, which is, why are you here? So I can have a why are you here session.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do is I have a guest coming in a couple of days. One of our friends, close friends from Spain, is going to be here. And I think that he and I might have a couple of sessions of that because, well, first of all, we haven't seen each other for a long time, so it'll be fresh. The ripples won't have, the relationship ripples will have
Correct.
They're uncluttered at the moment. So I will take that opportunity to spend my energies in this regard with him. That'll also allow him to be drawn into what we're doing. And if he can be with us next Wednesday night, he'll have participated.
So Pat's setting out
I'm doing one with you,
an
and I'm going to
intention
do one with
of what she's going to do during
yeah.
this week.
Yeah.
She's declaring it, in a sense, to the group.
Yes. Yeah.
And
make it known.
You know, like I made mine known, what I'm going to do. And
anybody online want to share one?
Or Ivan, or anybody else here?
Well, you might need some time to think about it.
To get together with somebody else in this group?
Not necessarily.
No.
That lady would like
phone.
To have the phone. Yeah. We're going to get...
Well, it was funny because today I was in the car with somebody, my buddy, and actually that very thing came up that I would recognize as one of my walls, and I was just telling her about it and kind of like not pleased with this infringement that I was really subject to its laws, and trying to make some kind of stand, like I'm not going to be so, you know, structured by that. But I see that that's one little lie. So, you know, it's a project to be watching for, you know, how that really walls me in. Because that one thing is very, you know, it has common threads in a lot of what I do. Because I was remembering one incident that it was just so obvious.
Yeah.
And how I saw that it was such a futile thing and I should be dropping that. But it's very common all the way through. So.
And isn't it nice that you now have not only given yourself an example, but you have highlighted the example back to yourself in front of this whole group.
In front of the group.
So you actually have more actually there in front of you to look at. That's how I always treat these things. It's more...
substance.
Yeah.
There's more substance and that'll pay off for you. By sharing it tonight.
Gee,
and I know if the group was different, we would have got into the specific. And then all of us would have our mind on that.
Yes, that's true. That's
how
one
another
way
element
it.
That the group works.
Yeah.
You share, like S here, she didn't actually share her weakness, but it was revealed.
It was revealed.
And then others had it too.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Dan.
Yes, Dan. You go ahead.
So the question is,
it may take a while.
Actually, fine.
It's totally fine.
It's fine because there's no need to make a statement about something that isn't real. For you at this moment, I mean,
right.
It'll be there when it's ready, you know, that I'm totally assured of that. Thank you.
The fish just agreed.
Oh, you got splashed.
Wow.
Whoa. The universe has given us an acknowledgement and an affirmation. Yes, that is so.
Fish is named Gallagher.
The and sometimes it's okay to be in the stew of uncertainty as well, you know, like we were for a second then.
It was nice.
It was very nice, yeah.
Anybody responding there, Dan, that you want to speak out for them?
Lara 34 says, I find this so interesting. I had a dream last night about the walls around me.
Thank you. I guess Jericho is alive and well. Marvette needs the speaky and cheeky.
You have two phones there, right?
Yeah, you can keep that.
You can keep that one, Marvette.
Well, speaking of dreams, I thought of it when you were reading earlier, and I thought, you know, okay. But maybe I should say it here because I actually have a question in relation to this. I had a dream about interacting with folks, and I was part of the school. I knew I was part of the school. And it was a very much a Bardo space. And then I woke up thinking about, I was not happy with that interaction because the response I got from the individual was not where I wanted it to go, and I went, oh yeah, that was stupid. So I thought that was because there was too much ego in it. And so I was looking at the question, well, how do I diminish that? Because I guess I don't know how to, and I usually shy away from interacting with people.
Oh.
I really do frequently do that. And so I had tried it in my dream, and it was a predictable response, but it was like a lower level response. And I thought, well, that's because it was not clean in some way. It was not a high level interaction, and it's because ego was involved or something. And it wasn't real obvious, but it must have been a strong undertone because I was not doing it right. So.
And when you woke up.
Yeah.
What did you know?
Well, I have the question of I need to. Really look at how to eliminate ego. That's the question I need to look at, because it's not, it's very, it's kind of the undercurrent, but it's not, you know, like on top, you know, real boisterously presenting itself, but it's still there enough to not be getting the results needed. So it's a good reason, good thing to do, not talk to people.
Well, Patricia mentioned Jericho. In the story, the army has to march around the city seven times, and then they blow trumpets, and the wall comes down. What is the equivalent for us?
Well, tell me what's equivalent for you. So,
Shock.
Shock?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes we just, one of the things that the themes here is this thing about not being dependent.
Yep.
And I think that how can you put yourself in a position, Dan, where you initiate the shock? You initiate the shock. Of course, we can wait. Oh, I'm ready for the shock. I hope the shock comes. Da, 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 da. But maybe what, because of the way you remember Jericho and the specificity of it, there's maybe something there for you to create your own shock of walking around the walls and then blowing the wall down.
Yeah, actually, I have a response for this too, Dan, which is that you've reminded me that I feel like there are elements of this, of my own walls, of my own habits, you know, personality, you know, historical personality, whatever we want to call it. I have seen these things and, you know, or parts of it. And it seems to me that if I'm, the way that I've seen it is by doing self-observation. In other words, either by, whether it was willed by me or not, there are moments when I have observed myself so distinctly or so clearly that I cannot forget that insight that I've gotten about myself. Okay, and to me, that marching 7 times around the wall, 1 time isn't going to do it. It's going to take self-observation and more self-observation and more self-observation, and the equivalent of something like the determination of the army marching around the wall. And then maybe there comes a point from not intervention, but observation, observation, observation. There may come a point when that habit actually is altered. It somehow is dissolved or changes or can be transformed into another habit, or something can happen with it, or I can disidentify with it.
Well,
because I've seen it enough times.
That's what I'm thinking more about, Ivan, is that if you notice the wall and you march around it, allow yourself to observe it.
That's it.
Allow yourself to observe that in yourself, and then you're going to, maybe at some point in the 7th round, you break through and you say, I'm going to act differently.
Actually, I want to mention, in relation to this, because I think this is very current with what EJ is talking about, I'm going to mention this idea of the sim, of the simulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking of one particular incident, which I'm not going to go into now, is 8 o'clock, and I probably don't need to share it with everybody anyway, but it seems to me, I've had moments when I haven't just seen myself in a repeating, you know, a pattern, a repeating behavior that I've caught myself repeating again. Oh, there it is again. Oh, I've done that again. Look at how it is. Whatever I've tried to do, I seem to be repeating this behavior. But I think I've also caught myself in moments where I have this cognition, I don't know, I have this light that goes on about where I see not just that I'm repeating the behavior, but that I am constructing the plot. I am constructing the events in my life, the environment, the people that I'm interacting with, so that I will repeat that behavior. And that is the sim. That's part of the sim, I think. If I could see if I can see how I am co-responsible for this simulation, this may be able to change my perspective. I've had that experience.
Beautiful. Well put. Does that give you any slant at all, Dan? Good. Why don't you report back to us in a couple of weeks, if you feel like it? It'd be interesting to see if the water got into the crack in the stone.
Well, I would like to say, in my opinion, any of the exercises that we have offered to each other or that the group has done as a whole, any of those can be brought up or reported on with this group
at any time. Very good.
Because the group continuity is outside of its consecutive day-time management thing. That's irrelevant. So since we share, quote, this Wednesday night time, quote, together, that's the opportunity that we have for mixing our input, you know, doing a little additional seasoning to the brew and doing a little stir and maybe adding a little sunlight or a little heat. That's when we actually manipulate this stew that we're working with together. And part of that would be saying, you know, I tasted this. And it's like Ivan has reported.
Yeah, right.
You know, a reporting is like giving us the feedback on the appropriateness of what it is that we're working with together. And that helps enormously to get the feedback.
Yeah.
You go, oh, I taste the lavender. Yeah, and that's a little dill. Okay, yeah, that's right. You know, just like the fish gave us the accolade a moment ago.
That's right.
You know. There is feedback in this universe. It's a very, very, very plastic universe. Very, very fluid.
If you pay attention, you get rewards. So get your checkbooks out and pay a little attention.
Your attention checkbook.
That's
your attention account.
read through 48 and 49 on your own. They're fun little chapters.
Yes, they are.
And next week on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we'll take up chapter 50, which is a dinner with Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look forward to observing that and enjoying it. Go ahead.
I missed one comment from Muscle Spark. He said, buffered in comfortable snoozing walls.
Yes, right.
Say that again.
Buffered.
Buffered in comfortable snoozing walls.
Snoozing walls, yeah.
Yes. Nice. Very nice.
Thanks, everyone, for coming, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night, all.